Unconditional election is our sermon for this morning in the 11th of our series of the 29 ways in which Christendom today and in this generation has perverted Scripture, our church forefathers, and the Reformation. We want to examine the second letter of the Reformation's acronym of TULIP. And the U stands, as you know, for unconditional election. Unconditional election speaks to the divine predestination of God from otherness, as spoken by God from the stillness outside of a never begun eternity. All of our godly church forefathers were taught this precious doctrine by the Holy Spirit. They not only loved election or predestination, but they insisted that this doctrine must be preached to the churches. They not only loved it, this doctrine, but they loved election, predestination, and insisted then that it be taught to all churches. They had been taught this by the Holy Spirit, that few things could be more foundational to salvation within Christianity than the predestination or election of God. They knew that if God had not elected or not predestinated them to salvation and written their names in the book of life, they would never be saved. They know God speaks throughout the Bible of this core doctrine of election. Yes, God is love. He is love personified, and how predestination reveals something of God's unfathomable love. How much divine glory and love from the Triune One radiates and overflows out of this doctrine. Yes, it is saturated with love. Yes, it gushes forth as the river of God. From all eternity, all of God's poor, needy, and missing children know the incredible, indescribable comfort and sweetness and love of predestination. Yes, predestination is pure love, not hate. And Pietism, as so many counter-reformational Christian leaders in this generation have taught to so many, and which they believe this error so strongly. Predestination is love. Let us read Scripture and look at just some of the overwhelming number of scriptural texts. Yes, saturating the Bible, outlining the doctrine of election. Let us bow down in the dust before His Majesty, and let us be in the Spirit today. Let us read His Word with fear and trembling. Hear the Word of God to you today. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. From John 6, verse 14. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Listen to Romans 8, verse 29 through 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be confirmed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Listen further to Ephesians 1, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who offered after his own will salvation. Thus far the reading of God's holy word and infallible word. We can see from this holy word that God has sovereignly chosen his children from the stillness of a never begun eternity. Yes, God is a God of order. He is always the first as the prime mover of salvation. The hell-worthy sinner ready to perish is always the second in the divine order. Yes, salvation is always a one-sided work of free and sovereign grace. Fallen man, dead in sins and trespasses, will never, never ask or seek for him unless God first sends his rebirth into their heart. Yes, he, the Trinity, chose them in the Council of Peace long, long ago, before ever he created earth. Obviously then, even longer than before they had even been born, or long before they in their life had done any good or any bad. The works of man can never, never be a part of the gift of salvation. You can search the entire Bible and you will find no reason for his children's salvation in them, except that God loved them freely. It was pure and sovereign grace, sovereign love, that he chose them. He chose them because he loved them freely. Yes, it was a love decision to save them from their self-made destruction and have them rejoin God's family. Now we know what Scripture tells us about this doctrine. We will also read what the Holy Spirit inspired our forefathers to write in our church creeds. Creeds such as the Reformation Confession of Faith, Article 16, Divine Election. Listen. We believe that when the entire offspring of Adam plunged into perdition and ruin by the transgression of the first man, God manifested himself to be, as he is, merciful and just, merciful in rescuing and saving from this perdition those whom in his eternal and unchangeable counsel he has elected in Jesus Christ our Lord, by his pure goodness, without any consideration of their works, is just in leaving the others in their fall and perdition unto which they have plunged themselves. Listen further now to how God's church forefathers further explained this paradox. The fact that some receive from God the gift of faith within time and that others do not stems from His eternal decree, for all His works are known to God from eternity. In accordance with this decree, God graciously softens the hearts, however hard, of the elect, and inclines them to believe. But by a just judgment, God leaves in their own wickedness and the hardness of their heart for those who have not been chosen. And in this especially is disclosed to us God's act, unfathomable and merciful as it is just, of distinguishing between people equally lost. This is the well-known doctrine of election and reprobation revealed in God's Word. The wicked, impure, and unstable distort this decree to their own ruin. But it provides holy and godly souls with comfort beyond words. As we have read from the inspired Word of God and now read from what the Holy Spirit has taught our godly forefathers for nearly 6,000 years. Let there be no one who doubts, diminishes, or disparages the scriptural doctrine of election or reprobation or predestination. Yes, this is double predestination, which has become so despised in our wicked and perverse generation today, with an extremely high percentage of today's Christians who vehemently reject this doctrine, know that election is not a human invention, but God has ordained it from eternity. He is the potter. We are the clay. Oh, who are we sinful fallen man, to try to correct God? Now, as we have looked at what the doctrine of election means in Scripture and in our church creeds, we want to begin with a parable. There was an old lady near the end of her life. She once said, "I know the doctrine of double predestination is hated and despised by many Christians today. But I know that it is true, and it is so precious, so sweet, so lovable to me, because I know that if God had not chosen me from before I was born, from the stillness of eternity, before seeing all my mountain of sins, which I have done against Him during this my life, then there would certainly have been no additional reason why He would save me later, when I am so saturated with all my sins, and do that for some imaginary reason of my goodness in me, found sometime during this my sin-drenched life. Oh, horror of horrors, it cannot be. Yes, if it had to depend on one cell of me, one atom of me, to call upon God, I would be lost forever. There would be 10 million other reasons for Him to condemn me further. For within and without, I am covered with sin from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Yes, there had to be a reason before all my sins why He would save me. O love unfathomable, He loved me long, long before I loved Him. Amazing grace, election of love. Now the doctrine of election or predestination, as we said, comes from God, who is otherness, long before He created eternity even. Let us try to fathom that meeting before eternity of the Trinity, meeting in the Council of Peace before time, before heaven, before earth were created. There in the Council of Peace is that greatest of all meetings, divine meetings. Listen to the speakers. The Father spoke first and said, I have freely chosen these specific humans out of the human race to be my children. They are precious to me. I will that they be saved, for I have engraven them, their names, in the palms of my hands. And then the second person spoke, and the Son spoke up and said, Lo, I come, O Father, to do thy will, to give my life and my blood as a ransom for these thy children. I shall lose none. Then the third person spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke, saying, I will enter into their souls to sanctify and to cleanse them, to conform them to the image of Christ, and bring them into heaven to be as one family with us, God's family. Yes, there the three persons of the Trinity agree to perform the miracle of the salvation of a man of their children. Yes, they already knew that mankind would fall into sin. It was not a surprise to God, who knows the beginning from the end, because He controls both ends. Yet, yes, despite these mountains of sins, they willingly agreed and coveted together for the salvation of His children. What an unfathomable divine mercy that was. It was in that Council of Peace, there and then, that the Book of Life was opened and God wrote His children's names, their names, in the Book of Life. Oh, unfathomable mercy. But much, much more took place in that divine meeting of the Trinity in the Council of Peace, unfathomably more. For there instantly God formed and developed the grand master plan of the universe, down to the smallest detail, yes, to the smallest atom, God planned it. And we use the term time in the word instantly, loosely, because God had not yet created time. For we know with God everything is an eternal now, nowness. Time is an element he created for mankind and for creation. And a question for you, do you know this unfathomable God of the grand meeting and covenant of the Council of Peace? And do you trust that every specific detail of your life will be carried out exactly as God developed it in his grand divine master blueprint? Do you know that? Yes, if anyone rejects the doctrine of election so clearly stated in the Bible, then your disagreement is not with me or with our godly forefathers, but your disagreement is with God. He wrote it. He planned it. Yes, many will well fear such who believe that have one of the hundreds of counterfeit Christs who are always cunningly disguised as an angel of light, who would reject plain scripture. But sadly today, counterfeit Christendom has such a very small God, exactly that small, such a puny God, such a weak God. They stagger in unbelief at such a huge, unfathomable God we read of in Scripture, who has set election as a litmus test of our orthodoxy. They do this simply because of their fallen nature and total depravity. It insists that they need and they want a small God, a God who is more and who is under and subject to their human understanding, their human control, and their human will. Now a few will admit that God has predestined, for they cannot deny and see what God has written so clearly. But listen, they always qualify it by immediately adding that God simply created the conditions that allowed for and lead man to exercise their faith. But that is not what God says or what he has taught our godly church forefathers for 6,000 years, definitely not. Read it for yourselves. He is immutable. He does not change. Yes, even more hated than the concept of predestination is the reality of double predestination, which is the obvious, that some he elects to glory and life, but others he reprobates, he rejects to damnation. Yes, double predestination, election and reprobation is God's reality written clearly in Scripture, for he is the same. For the elect of heaven, but he hardens others. Do you hear that? He hardens others in reprobation for hell. Know that what any unregenerate human disagrees with God's way is utterly, utterly irrelevant to the Almighty. His will be done in you. Years will be trampled under his feet and destroyed. Yes, everything must follow the Grand Master blueprint perfectly. And it must, because God is perfect and he can only accept perfection. Yes, if ever even one of those smallest details, the smallest part of an atom, failed to perform in this world, God would fail and God would cease to exist. Oh, how impossible it is then to fail. Oh, I beg you with tears, with all the love of my heart, do not rebel against the doctrine of election and reprobation. It is God's word. And if you do not repent, oh, I hesitate to say it, it is so awful. It means your eternal destruction. Yes, my hearers, if you are one of the scoffers who doubts or rejects the election or power of the Almighty, I must tell you with absolute certainty that every thought, every word, every action, yes, absolutely everything which is happening or has ever happened or has been done by the nearly 50 billion people who have already lived and been born into this world, everything that it has already been decreed by the Council of Peace in God's Master Blueprint. Yes, the Grand Master Blueprint Designer, as we have said earlier, designed the Grand Master Blueprint of the universe before he ever built it. Do you hear that? Before he ever built it, he planned it. Let me say it again. Before God began to create this universe, he perfectly designed it and laid out every single detail, from the largest star in the universe to the smallest particle of the atom in the earth. In the master blueprint of the universe, which he has been unfolding for 6,000 years and is unfolding today to fit perfectly into his grand master blueprint. Yes, everything down to the smallest detail means exactly everything. That obviously means God, who never sleeps, is right now closely monitoring and actively controlling each of the 200 trillion cells that make up your and my body. Yes, unimaginable. Each atom within you must continually receive new commands from God for each and every second of our life. 200 trillion, to give a perspective of just how much 200 trillion is. If each of our body cells were quarters, 200 trillion quarters would cover the land surfaces of every state but Alaska. Did you know that a new command must come forth from him during each of the 86,400 seconds we live in each day? for your next heartbeat, for your next breath, a command must come forth from God. And did you know that science shows that almost everybody alive actually misses a breath or a heartbeat every day? Do you know that God, because of your many sins, could righteously not send another command? And do you ever wake up in the morning in utter amazement that you are still alive? Then there are so very, very many reasons God could not allow us to live another second. Try to fathom Jehovah the Almighty. Just try to fathom then the 7 billion people currently living right now on earth today. They are all perfectly fulfilling God's master blueprint from the Council of Peace, yesterday down to the smallest detail. Yes, God does not wind up every human being for a lifetime and then let us unwind like a deist believes, according to our own human will, in the seconds and the days of our life. No, no, no. He is the living God, watching, controlling, actively participating every second of every day for the last 6,000 years in every human so that we fulfill His will. Did you know that everything fits into His master blueprint? His searching eyes penetrate deeply into everything. Nothing, absolutely nothing outside of God's will happens, and everything in this grand master blueprint is working in perfection, in harmony to God's sovereign and electing will. And everything fits perfectly within the grand master blueprint. Oh, we cannot say it enough. Is it not an unfathomable wonder then that He wrote His children's names in His book of life? Today, when something bad happens, so often so many mocking people immediately say sarcastically, "Now why did God allow this to happen? Why that to happen? Why didn't He stop it?" Admitting that God controls everything, but ignoring that it was their sin which was the cause of the problem, the disaster in the first place. Oh, when COVID-19, it is a judgment upon us. Why did God do that? Let us look more of God's incalculable complexity within His master blueprint. God created zillions times zillions of stars and different objects in space, science tells us this, most of which are far, far bigger than our sun. In just the 8% of creation that we can actually see with our fallen eyes, only 8%. Now He set all these stars in all their proper orbits and places, spinning them around each other in a complexity that's unfathomable. He calls them all by name. Yes, He set every star in the universe in its spinning motion, Yes, spinning fast, very fast. Did you know that we are spinning at over 1,000 miles per hour just living on the surface of this earth? The earth is turning and spinning around the sun. The sun is spinning around within the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is spinning around a much larger system of galaxy, which in turn is spinning around another much, much larger group of galaxies, all in perfect order. If you ask, if you put all these spinning speeds together, science tells us this, that we are traveling right now over 2.3 million miles per hour. 2.3 million miles per hour, you and I are traveling right now. Do you sink away in wonder and amazement at the incalculable complexity God created in His universe? It was all according to His plan. Moreover, this tremendous speed that we are traveling toward a specific spot in this vast space, which we cannot even see. Science cannot see it. Science cannot explain it. But it is called the Great Attractor because it is some unimaginable huge portion object in space that every single of the trillions upon trillions of stars and this earth and you and me are racing toward with an incredible speed toward this one huge destination in space, which we cannot even see. Oh, try to fathom that you and I are moving over 2 million miles per hour toward a destination right now. And yes, God controls everything. Obviously, logically thinking, any thinking person, this is how even humanity works. This process of planning happens. And it must be so. Let's look at an earthly example. Let's imagine that the builder of a high skyscraper operating without a plan just decided to build without an exact blueprint. Just imagine each day he starts to build willy-nilly and changing things constantly as he builds each day is different. As things change, he changes the plan. Strictly from a human perspective, can you imagine what a pathetic skyscraper he would have built? It would fall down before it was completed. No one in their right mind would believe mankind needs a blueprint to build a simple building. That is certainly no different for the God of the universe in His master blueprint for everything. And yes, the awful pandemic of COVID-19 and the many hurricanes and the disasters that have taken over our nation, the rioting and the burning in the cities, the great storm in Iowa which destroyed 1/3 of the crop. All of these things are all in God's master blueprint. Are there any of my hearers who realize that God has sent these disasters, including COVID-19, for a very specific reason? He is calling that we might repent. But now to return, after the planning, now God begins to create. He is sitting on his majestic throne far and high above heaven. He created the universe and the unfathomable complexity of everything within it simply by speaking it forth. Instantly, in a split second, he spoke his word, and it was. During this last 6,000 years, in the unfolding of time and in the fullness of time, God's will, following according to the smallest details of all of God's master blueprint for the universe, this will happen, is happening, and it can be traced back to perfect accord to God's predestination or his electing plan of love. Yes, he is the rock which King Nebuchadnezzar in his dream saw formed without hands, has steadily, daily grown into a mighty mountain which is smashing to pieces all of Satan's work. Oh, unfathomable, electing love, glorious predestination. Who can deny it? He has sent his Son to speak, to seek, and to save his lost children. Oh, come, let us repent today. Let us fall in the dust at his feet today. Let us kiss the Son today for the wounds your and my sins have caused in him. Oh, what damage we have done with our sins. Let us pray to God for the doctrine of election, of predestination, that despite them, he still loved his children. Now the 2,000 some divine promises created already in the Council of Peace are sprinkled throughout the Bible. For each of them to happen exactly as God said, God has and does need to control every event leading up to that promise, leading up to each of them. The evolutionist line tells us that almost everything happened by chance, by random selection, by survival of the fittest. Oh, what a lie. Obviously, the Creator must be greater than whatever he creates, and he must control everything that leads up to a creation, to an event. For an event to happen, it must all fit. To somehow claim that God has no blueprint or no plan for the universe, that he has no plan for humans, for you and me, that he is not controlling everything according to that plan. Oh, it is the height of evil. Let me say it again. It is the height of evil. That is not love, which the doctrine of election is. Scripture tells us that the most heinous deed of the universe, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, was by far the worst act on earth, but it was by the determinate counsel of God, perfectly fitting into God's grand master blueprint. Yes, this is the doctrine of election rejected by so many of Christendom today, named Christians. Obviously, we have but scratched the surface in this morning. Next time, if we live in our well, we will delve further into this glorious, loving doctrine of predestination. Oh yes, if Luther or Calvin or Jonathan Edwards or any of our godly forefathers, if they could come alive today and would see how much of Christendom today rejects in part or in total the doctrine of election, they would laugh us to scorn. And they would thunder condemnation upon any church or any member who rejects election. Yes, our godly forefathers rejoiced over the doctrine of election, that God had written their names in the book of life long, long before they had done any works, good or bad. Do you know such an electing God too? Do you fall at His feet in repentance today? Come, let us put our lips in the dust. For such ones, then I may tell you that as Moses has lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, that all who were ready to die, ready to perish, God has lifted up Jesus Christ in Scripture, that all who may look by faith upon Him can be healed. Oh, do you see Him? He is chief among 10,000. He is altogether lovely. His head is as of gold. His countenance is shining and ruddy, and the kisses of His lips are sweeter than wine. Come, let us repent before Him today. With COVID-19 and all of the disasters He is sending, He is speaking loudly, loudly, loudly to the fallen church, the corrupt church today, who so many of them do not pass the elementary litmus test of believing in the doctrine